Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Thanks for joining me today with two of my favorite people and colleagues, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Milan Jurkovic, and your phone calls right here today on New Life Live. Glad you're with us.
I've struggled with depression my whole life.
I'm hanging in there.
That does not sound good.
I have a problem. I came across some pornography a couple of weeks ago on television, and I watched it.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
It affects them in different ways, but still, it's a bad thing for their hearts and their souls and their mind.
Anyone saying that that family of origin horrendous sin is irrelevant to be dealt with is an idiot.
The act of sharing it will take the punch out of it. Keeping it a secret makes it more magical. It goes into the realm of fantasy, and that does set you up. Marriages need to be protected.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls. Hello, Milan. Hello, Jill.
Steve, hello. Hi,
Steve.
Jill.
Hi, Milan.
You know, I was talking with Larry earlier, and here we are at the end of May. And who took the first part of 2013?
I feel like I'm supposed to put my Christmas lights up already.
Yeah, no, it's no question.
I just leave mine up, you know, turn them off. You know.
Well, I used to not understand why people did that. But now I think, well, why wouldn't you? I mean, it's just like a couple of days away after it's over. It really is phenomenal how time flies. And, you know, the summer is upon us, and we need your help here so that we don't have a summer slump. There's nothing worse than a summer slump. So please call us and let us know that you can help us if you possibly can. Also, you know, this summer we've got an amazing time of, it's our Marriage and Healing is a Choice weekend, July 26th through the 28th. Here's what somebody said, it was Diane, said about the Healing is a Choice. They said, when I arrived, I was a mess with anger and frustration at everyone and found that it was anger and sadness for things I didn't want to let go of. I surrendered them to the Lord and finally feel at peace. I know the Lord finally took me to the next level, and I have been fighting Him about that level. Oh, to have done this sooner, but I won't live to regret, as this is all in His perfect timing. Well, I just hope and pray that, you know, if you are struggling with a problem, something you've never let go of, maybe it's guilt, fear, anger, something like that, that you would let us help you at the Healing is a Choice workshop. It's the same weekend as the New Life Marriage weekend, July the 26th, 27th, and 28th, and early bird discounts are available by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. And then don't forget, July 1, that's the Alaska cruise. That's going to be a great time. And we hope that you will join us for that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com to find out all about those things. And, you know, Milan, you and Kay, you're doing some great stuff with the work that you do with How We Love. And I just, you know, if anybody wants info on how to get involved with that, go to a training, one of the workshops, you can find out about that at newlife.com also. Let's go to a phone call. And let's go right here to Donna from Littleton, Colorado. KRKX is the station. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. And you?
Great. How could we help you?
I have a question on boundaries. I have a very low-functioning autistic son who is turning 13 this month, and his behavior is becoming steadily more disruptive. And my question is how do you know when to set that boundary and turn him loose, possibly, into institutionalized care?
What's going on? I mean, tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he kind of doesn't fit the general mold. He's emotionally probably about a three-year-old level. He's got incredible receptive language, I'd say probably up to maybe 10 or 12. But he does not speak. and he's learned like the alphabet, but he won't take the next step to reading anything that would make him more self.
Okay, hold on. We'll help you after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. We are we're talking with Donna, who's has a 13-year-old special needs son. And at the break, we were talking about, and Mylon, maybe you could ask her about some of her feelings. Ask her how she's feeling about that situation.
Well, Donna, I hear you torn between two things. One is, when or is it appropriate to take my son and move him into a place that might be better care for him long range?
Better suited. Your care may not be adequate.
And I also hear a frustration on your part that somehow you think he's not progressing at a level you think he might. And I feel like I'm hearing some irritation or frustration on your part. What are you feeling there?
When things are good with him, they're very good. He's can be very good-natured, but he's beginning to exhibit a lot of desire and determination to push boundaries, as in I can go through certain four or five hours at a time where he will literally go from one thing that's a no to another thing that's a no.
Well, and what is that making you feel? You're frustrated that he's not turning his alphabet into reading. You're frustrated he's pushing the boundaries with you now, which is what, by the way, all 13-year-olds do.
Yeah.
Right.
So what are you feeling inside? It sounds like you've kind of hit a wall. You're at the end of your rope.
I am kind of at the end of a wall, yes. The teachers, his school teachers all agree that there is potential there, but they have not been able to get him to be willing to make that jump toward anything for self-care. I have a boy that's 16 months older than he is, and I'm trying to also take that into consideration, but Alan is getting to the point where he's pulling pictures off the wall, even stuff that's bolted, when he gets angry. And it's just when he's in those moods, I find it very difficult because he won't respond verbally, he won't respond to discipline, he won't respond to containment. And his psychiatrist has assured me that we've exhausted all resources as far as pharmaceutical aids. So that's kind of where I'm sitting, and part of me is frustrated. He's like I said, an emotional three-year-old, and I don't want to
Donna,
lose my little baby.
We're so sorry that you're having to go through this. This is horrible.
Yeah, really.
And yet, yeah, emotionally he's one age, and yet his body is progressing. And
right.
So he's going through some of the natural stages, but it sounds like it's much more magnified in him. Like when little boys start to, you know, the testosterone levels start to increase, and they increase 20-fold from about ages 9 to 15. And so you're in that spot where he's getting at different times these testosterone dumps, which will increase his aggressive behavior. But in someone like this that doesn't have the emotional capacity, as well as you don't know how his brain is firing or misfiring, it makes it a very difficult situation for you. And if, you know, the psychiatrist is saying you've exhausted the, you know, pharmaceutical resources, what other resources? I mean, I would imagine by 13 you've tried a lot of things. But I know with some of the parents that I have seen, you know, at each different developmental stage, it's like they have to go through the different options and kind of keep cycling through to try to get some help.
Jill, as a child goes through each developmental stage, don't the mm-hmm. parents, in a sense, suffer another loss?
Well, I think just parents with any child, we all suffer
sure.
losses, you know.
But this just presents another
absolutely.
Series of losses that the parents have to wrestle with.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Donna, you know, it's scary if your child feels like, you know, he's getting bigger than you can contain, right? And he's a danger to someone. And I know, some families, when, you know, the kind of the special needs child started being a threat to the other children, a threat of harm, that's when some really hard decisions do have to be made. And I've seen parents who have, you know, put their children in care, and yet they're very active with them. But that's a really
Donna, when I was 10 years old, my mom and dad took my older sister who had cerebral palsy and a retardation, and she was from birth, and she was in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And they put her into a institutionalized group home, and when I was 10 years old. And I watched the torment of them. I'll never forget mm-hmm. that ride home to and from, and my parents crying.
Right.
It was very hard. And yet, in the long run, it was the very best for my sister because she developed a life of her own. She developed so many things that she would have never experienced had she stayed home. And it was taking a tremendous physical toll on my parents. They both had back problems. They both had hernias. They both had all kinds of things.
Right.
And it was just very, very taxing. And I think, Jill, you made a really important point, which was, if you do make a change, there needs to be an integrated view of what will our entire relationship be with him, even though he's in another setting. And mm-hmm. we really think that through.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, he's not doing any damage to siblings. It's mostly to furniture and to things in the house. But it just, and part of me is the double-sided sword, I guess. The other part of me is saying it just feels like it's a little too soon yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Given his emotions.
Mm-hmm. So then are there other options?
Right.
You know?
And
at this point, no. I'm pretty much his sole caretaker.
Okay. And do you have caretaker support? Do you go to a support group?
Not a lot, no. I am mostly
sure
working through
you.
The school system for support.
That would help you to work through this kind of these kind of issues, I think.
Yeah, I think the emotional support for you is extremely important. If you're the sole caretaker and you don't have regular help, but just emotionally what you're going through, and to be in a group maybe with other moms that have similar situations, mm-hmm. it's absolutely essential.
I know of a couple that has a child who has autism who's approximately the same age, and they have a behavioral specialist that comes into the mm-hmm. house multiple times or one time a week, and then they work with the child, and also to give the parent or the young teen, to give the parents a respite from, and to create another voice that is influencing and trying to influence your son's behavior. So that's another thought.
Okay. Because finances are an option at this, or a limit at this point, is my other.
Okay.
And well, I hope something that we've
And just so you know, a lot of churches now have support groups for parents with kids on the spectrum, autistic spectrum.
And what the state continues to offer, the state,
right.
state and local governments have a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure you've looked at them all, but they may have something available to you.
Yeah. All right. Glad you called.
So sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, really tough. And I'm going to send you every young man, God's man, and maybe that's something that you guys can share together. I hope so. I'm glad he has you. You are a gift from God, and I know that must be very tough and painful and frustrating. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Joy from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hi, Joy.
Hi, Myla and Steve and Jill. How are you?
Hi, Joy.
Great. Hi, Joy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. And I want to let you know how encouraged I've been listening to the show. Had a daughter that had done some cutting and burning and different things, and we've worked through some of that and still continuing to work on our relationship there with the divorce and the family. But I appreciate the wisdom that you all pour out each day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
How could we help?
My question has to do with learning how to be a healthy dater. I've been divorced for a long time, and I've dated some and then gave up and dated some and then gave up. Haven't really dated in probably six, seven years. And, you know, I listen to some of the horror stories, and it's just so scary, you know. But I certainly would like to find God's match for me. And, you know, just want to talk with you about, you know, being healthy in relationships and, you know, finding the right one and building on a good foundation.
Okay. Do you have people that want to introduce you to folks, or are you dependent on the internet?
Mostly internet, and I've had a few really bad experiences with some of these fishers and scammers, so that's kind of scary too, but... And I have a battle with weight, and so I've had some issues there with feeling rejected by the guys looking for the Miss Perfect Barbie doll, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm working on that area, so I kind of gave up the dating for a while just to try to work on me and, you know, lost maybe 20, 25 pounds. I still have to lose 30 or 40 more, but I have joined a few sites, and I'm just, you know, I'm 50-some years old, and it gets a little tiresome sometimes to, you know, if you put yourself out there and, you know, it's just, it's been a little bit frustrating and difficult.
Yeah, and Joy, socially, are you out and involved in things?
I'm out quite a bit. I'm in the ministry. I'm finishing up a pastoral internship, and I'm involved with a lot of people. I do a lot of ministering and giving out and emotional support and ministry. I guess I haven't had a lot coming back my way, and, you know, I don't want to have a guy that I've got to be a caretaker for, as somebody said in it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I want a guy who can really learn to love me. And my first marriage, I got married right out of high school and didn't have a clue who I was, and really married the first man that came along, just desperate for love. And I grew up in an alcoholic and a bipolar household, so there was never a lot of emotional stability. And you know, I guess I didn't have a real good foundation for good relationships. But I've learned in the last 20-some years about that. But.
Joy, I have an idea that starts with Girl Scout cookies. And it's not to dissuade you from your diet, but a friend of mine had girls and they were selling Girl Scout cookies, and he told them to count. He said, you know, every time somebody says no to you that they don't want Girl Scout cookies, count that one as a count. And then realize if that's your number one, that you're only 9 more away from a yes. He said, and he taught them about a yes-no ratio of 10 to 1, of no's being 10 to every yes. And so the girls weren't discouraged by a no, but they kept asking everybody that came along. And I would recommend that you do the same thing. Instead of setting yourself up and putting yourself out there, just go out and meet people. And spend time talking to every possible person you can, or accepting dates, going out, and not trying to be so picky and choosy. Just meet people and try to see who's reciprocal. You do have a caretaking sound to you.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you called and you said all of our names and you sound like a really super nice person. But wait and look to see how much a person reciprocates and just gain the exposure. And get ready to, if you say it hurts to be rejected, well, work on that 10 to 1 ratio and realize that that's life. You know, there's a 10-to-1 ratio for all of our inquiries in many, many cases.
Right.
So it's just sort of, part of it's going to be just mentally gearing up to get back into the game.
Well, and I think, though, that because what you do for work is so intertwined with your whole life, you have to find some places where you don't have to be the pastor, mm-hmm. where you can right. meet people out so that you aren't automatically in that role. And like Mylon's saying, kind of hold back from that role because that's a comfortable place for you. You get to be in charge. You don't have the unpredictability. And, you know, dating is risky because you don't always feel in charge. So yeah. you've got to risk a little bit and go out into some different parts of the world, different parts of your town
yeah.
that you don't normally go to, perhaps.
Let me send you, is this the one? I think it'll help you with that dating process. Interesting, Mylon, that you, someone struggling with weight, you'd bring up the Girl Scout cookie.
Yes,
I guess
yes.
if an alcoholic calls in,
too.
you might make an analogy with a beer distributorship or something like that. I don't know. But
thanks for pointing that out, Steve.
You're welcome.
Thank
just
you so much.
It's my job.
I know.
All right, well, we hope you do a good job at it. Yeah, we hope and pray that joy will find new joy in dating and that life will open up. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us today here on New Life. God bless you.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we are back. Steve Arterburn here. Let me just read you a quick note about our marriage weekend. Ken said that before coming to the marriage weekend, our life at home was like two roommates living in the same house. We already communicated, avoided each other, and lived two separate lives. Now, I can't tell you how common that is. This weekend has been healing as I surrendered to God to heal our relationship. This weekend has demonstrated that God's love for me is the same love I need to demonstrate to my wife. I leave here with healing, and I hope that the marriage has been restored to a place that God desires. To anyone considering attending the marriage weekend, I'd say do it before it's too late, and Satan has a firm grip on your marriage. Amen. Do it. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com, to join Dave Stoop and his wife, Mylon Yurkovich and his wife, and me, for the marriage weekend, and also that same weekend is Healing is a Choice. And right now, I want to go to a wonderful interview I did with the author of a book about seven men and the difference that they made in this world. It's Eric Metaxas. Let's play that clip.
the one that I had to start with was George Washington, because Washington, he embodies the crisis that I'm talking about. Well, you know, not long ago, he was this great man, and in the last 40 or so years, he's been denigrated as, oh, he was a slave owner, he was this, he was that, and you think, well, wait, now, wait a minute. How can generations have hailed him as great, and suddenly all we can see is, you know, his flaws? The greatness of this man is so great that it's a disservice to history and a disservice to our generation if we don't recognize what he did. We would, none of us really be here probably if he hadn't done what he did. The heroic sacrifice he made, it's not really well known. And the main sacrifice, I mean, we in each chapter of this book, by the way, I tell the whole story of the person's life. So it's not just a little episode, mm-hmm. but I focus on certain episodes. So with Washington, I tell the whole story of just tremendous courage, heroism, especially through the Revolutionary War, just extraordinary physical, moral courage, leadership. But what I really focused in on, what I home in on, is an episode, I can never remember the details, I believe it was 1783, when the war's over, and the men, all these troops, have not been paid. And there's a group of officers that are complaining to Washington, and they're really wondering, why should we worry about this stupid Congress? They're not paying us. It's unconscionable. It's despicable. We should just make you king. You've been a hero. You have led us to battle, to victory over the British. We won. You should be King George I of America. And everybody knows you're going to be a good, benevolent king. You're not going to be some horrible dictator like Napoleon. And, of course, that's true. But George Washington, to his eternal credit and to our benefit, said, I refuse. And now, it's hard for us to believe that in this day and age, today, we can't think of military dictatorships. But in that day and age, that's all there existed. There was no such thing as the concept of a democratically elected president. So for him to refuse what anybody would have said is his right, it was just crazy.
Yeah, and
but he did, and it was a heroic sacrifice.
How many people ever have an opportunity to turn down kingship, and because he thought it wasn't the right thing?
He was a truly noble man, and that's, again, you know, the reason I wrote this book is that we need to have examples of true nobility for young men to think about, why would he do that? I mean, mm-hmm. the thing was, go for the gusto, grab it, it's in front of you, grab it, and, you know, you only live once. Well, not according to George Washington. George Washington says that, no, I want to do the right thing. The right thing is to not only turn down that offer, but to be offended by it and to say, I mm-hmm. refuse to even dignify that. You should be ashamed for offering that to me. The right thing to do is to stay the course. We haven't fought all these years for nothing. I mean, incredible self-sacrifice. And the same thing happened when they asked him to run for president. He didn't want to. And then when they asked him to run for a second term, he didn't want to. He did it because he felt he was needed to serve mm-hmm. to serve his country. But it's so hard for us to understand how easily he could have said, oh, yes, I'll accept this offer to be a monarch, and I'll be the best monarch you ever had. But no, he said, I refuse. Tremendous discipline to do the right thing. And every one of the heroes in this book of seven men did something comparable. But the number one, it has to be number one, is the great George Washington.
Well, I love that because, you know, so much of history is being rewritten, and he really talks about the manhood of and the sacrificial leadership of George Washington. You can get a copy of that book by Eric Metaxas. It's absolutely amazing and a great, great Father's Day gift. The Seven Men and the Secret of Their Greatness. I think all of us men want to be great. We just don't have a secret. Anyway, let's go to Caroline from Baltimore, Maryland, WAVA. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I want to thank you for taking my call, first of all. And I have a question. I'm going to see a counselor, and because I am dealing with working through my childhood trauma, some unresolved pain due to my mom, the relationship with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the counselor that I'm going to see, I'm not paying anything because I can't afford to pay no counselor right at this time. So they provided one at my church, and I go to her once a week. And I've been going to her for about 2 months now. And it seems like every time we hit a point where the pain is, you know, it's surfacing, and I'm starting to about to talk about it, and my eyes get watery. It's like she does things to, for the lack of a better word, to send the child in hiding again.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought one thing to her.
Okay, and hold on. We'll get back to you right after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My good friend Steve Arterburn and I agree on a lot of things, and one of them is the importance of a good marriage. Steve and the crew at New Life are on a campaign to strengthen marriages, to renew, refresh, and restore them to be what God intended for them to be, and I am 110% behind their efforts. That's why I want to encourage you to consider attending New Life's Marriage Weekend. Whether your marriage just needs a little refreshing or you're on the verge of a divorce, this weekend can be exactly what you need. You don't want to miss it. There's no other conference like it. Call the good people at New Life at 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 800-639-5433. And talk to them about the upcoming New Life Marriage Weekend. Or check it out at newlife.com. Don't wait another minute. Do it now.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We were talking with Caroline, not really excited about what's going on in her therapy session. What do you guys think? Jill, Mylon, what do you say to her about, well, how do you deal?
Caroline, we were kind of talking and commenting on how, you know, insightful you are and kind of being aware of what's going on with you and what's happening in the session. And even your question, you know, to us about kind of how do you address this, is that you knowing that it does need to be addressed. You know, part of therapy isn't going to someone who's going to impart all this wisdom onto you and know exactly what to do every moment with you. It's a working relationship where the two of you work together. She has her skills and you have your input, right? Because you know how you feel and is this helpful? Is this good? You know? And so...
I just want to give you the two things that she does.
Okay.
And I brought it to her attention. One of the things she does is, When I'm at that point, she'll start looking at her phone and, like, you know, looking at the time and keep looking at it, and it starts to distract me and discourage me. So what I'll do is I'll just, because I would think she's ready to go or she got something else to do, so I'll push back down and you know, hurry up along the way. So I brought that to her attention.
Mm-hmm.
She apologized for it, but she still does it. Then another thing she does is she tried to make me jump over the pain to... She said, "Well, look, how about your mom? You look at her." She said, "You should." She was trying to get me to feel sorry for my mother. And don't get me wrong, I understand
mm-hmm.
that though, because
mm-hmm.
I've been there. I used to do that, and I want to deal with my own pain so I can get on the other side of it. Then I'd be in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
But she tried to take me through, jump over the pain.
So she's trying.
It reminds me a little bit of my mother, to a certain extent.
Okay. Okay.
And you know, and I sat there and I told her, I said, she was like, you need to be understanding. I said, I'm very understanding. And I remember listening to y'all's show one day, and someone on there had said, you could be too understanding. And with me being so understanding, sometimes I kept putting a lid on my pain.
Well, right. And see, so she's reacting in some way, you know, to you. And in a way wanting you to be, you know, perhaps farther down the road. Because before you can start to have, you know, compassion for your parent, which, you know, part of the forgiveness process is you do have to see your parents as people and start to have some compassion. But I think that's after you've been heard. You've been able to tell your story and you've been able to have people be with you in that. And so, you know, some of it may be, you know, letting her know that, you know, this is reminding you a little bit of being with your mom and that, you know, one of the things you're needing is just to be able to sit in it for a bit before you move along.
Thank you. That's the only thing I'd be asking. Like, let me sit in so I can feel the pain and get past it. I can do the other part very well.
Mm-hmm.
I can be compassionate with my mom. I can do this for her. I can love her for her. I can go give her a hug, tell her I love her. I can do that very, very well. However, the is the anger, the sadness, that right there is not very well. I can't do that very well.
Caroline, some counselors, mm-hmm. every counselors come in a variety of sizes and shapes and flavors.
Right.
And many of them do not have the capacity
right.
to tolerate pain,
mm-hmm.
Crying, anger, et cetera, et cetera. You have to train yourself into, one, recognizing the value of pain. You know, Jesus, the Bible said, was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And a lot of us in church work or in as you mentioned, you're in a church setting, they want to make pain go away. They want to fix pain.
Oh, it's so
and,
it's true.
And, common.
And, yep. You're right. And just, well, here's a verse that'll help you, or here's a good thought to replace that one. And people don't know how to sit in pain like Jesus did with Mary and Martha, where he just sat down and he cried with them. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, but we don't know how long that was. I doubt if it was a second long cry. I doubt if it was 1 minute. I mm-hmm. bet you it was several minutes where he wept with them. And you're just going to need to share with her what you want. But guess what? I think Jill made a great point. This counselor, in essence, is kind of like your mom. And for you to develop an adult voice with your counselor will be like you having an mm-hmm. adult voice with your mom. And it may be able to some other point in time someday translate into a conversation with your mom. But I think you need to have that adult voice with your counselor. Say, mm-hmm. I really need this. Please don't discourage me from my feelings. That's why I'm here.
You know, and I kind of like knew that, but
you're right. You're right. You got it.
I would say, oh, you could go. You could just leave and get another one.
No.
But that's the hard work.
No, go with your gut. You're on the right track.
Right, because Mylan is so right. You've got to work this out somewhere. You've not been able to do it with your mom. So try this counselor.
All righty.
And that's the healing work. Jumping from therapist to therapist, no. That isn't as healing.
Yeah.
Looking at the phone, though, we would not recommend that as a technique for counseling. I wouldn't.
Well,
what's that, Steve? Doing
what?
She said
the phone.
She said a therapist would look at
oh,
the
yeah,
phone.
Looking at the phone and yawning is also not
yeah. Falling asleep, that's not good either.
Well, falling asleep, come on now. Sometimes you can't help that. But
a guy that fell asleep once, and he opened his eyes. He had his hand on his face. And he opened his eyes. He just said, I'm going to close my eyes for a second. He woke up. The client was gone.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's the ultimate diss.
Well, I have been in a session where my eyes, you know, blinked, and you wonder, okay, were they shut for 1 second or 30 seconds? How? You know it was obvious. You don't know whether to address it or just keep going. Anyway, it does happen.
Was there drool on your cheek?
Oh,
it's another
goodness.
Sign, too.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Glad you called. Let me send you a copy of the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. I hope that you'll like that book. If you don't like it, give it to somebody else. And I think it could help. All right, let's go to Ann from San Francisco, California, KFAX. Hi, Ann.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing okay. How could we help today?
Okay. I know you guys have limited time, so just really quickly, I'm married. I've been married almost 5 years.
Excuse me, Ann. Just a second. I have to check my phone before. No, I was a little humored there. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was like, okay, no problem.
You're married. You're married.
I'm married. Been married for 5 years. And my husband sells drugs. And he refuses to stop. We've been separated for almost 6 months. And basically his answer to me is that he's not going to stop. And he's not going to go broke for anyone. That includes me or our daughters. So I just need to know what I should do or how can I move forward. Is divorce an option? Or, do I just have to stay?
Did you call the police?
No, I didn't.
That'd be a good option.
Okay.
Don't you think? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Let's hear from Jill and Mylon. Maybe they don't think you should call the police.
Well, I think
that would certainly stir things up.
It would stir things up. I think at the very least, you said you're separated. Are you legally separated from him?
We're not legally separated. He just does not reside in the home with us.
Okay. Well, I think one of the things that you have to do as a wife with children, we say this frequently, is you have to make sure you are legally protected from the liabilities of your partner when you're married. In California, the liabilities and the assets are co-equally divided. So I think you need to make sure that I would talk to an attorney and find out what should I do to protect myself. My husband is in a precariously dangerous line of work. Mm-hmm. And what do I do to protect myself? And I think at the very least, you know, your husband, if he were to decide that he wanted to come back to you, would have to lay down his practices. But yet, you know, I bet you, based upon his comment, that he's a guy that probably suffered deprivation as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had, you know, his dad was on drugs throughout his childhood. So to him, seeing the local dope dealer on the corner with the cars and the money, that's always been a dream to him.
I know. So, and that's so sad. And that's going to take time for that memory to erase, for his pain to be acknowledged. And one of the things I would do is I would resonate with that little place of pain that I just brought up right there with him. I know this is really, really hard for you. The place of deprivation, seeing the person with money, I could see why you'd be driven to this. It's not to condone it, but it's to help him.
To move toward him with understanding.
To move toward him with understanding.
And create some vulnerability there. Instead of just putting the solid boundaries around it, I think you do have to have some boundaries, but you want to do both. Because what's going to make him change? Boundaries alone aren't going to make him change.
That's right.
When you see his heart and his pain, there might be a desire for that.
Right. All right. I'm glad you called. Really glad you called. And, man, if there's anything you could do to be so helpful, get into an Al-Anon group.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that could really help. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back for the final segment. Glad you're with us today on New Life. We'll be back after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn. Come join us as we cruise Alaska this summer, July 1st through the 8th. Alaska is one of God's most wonderful and spectacular works of creation. And if you haven't been before, you'll be amazed at all there is to see and to do. We'll be sailing the Norwegian Sun, starting in Vancouver, and sailing north to Anchorage. Along the way, we'll stop in Ketchikan, Juneau, Skagway, and then sail Glacier Bay and Hubbard Glacier. Our New Life cruises are always filled with lots of fun, wonderful fellowship, and great teaching from our team. And joining me this year are Women of Faith speakers Marilyn Meeberg and Lucy Swindoll. To register or to find out more, call 1-888-770-6898, extension 103. That's 1-888-770-6898, extension 103.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I think that's why I do it, because there's just so much help there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And I want to talk with Kathy from Clarksville, Maryland. Hi, Kathy. Welcome. She listens on XM Satellite Radio. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Certainly. What's going on?
My question is kind of directed towards Mylan. I am a vacillator. And what I understand vacillators do is they protest, they despair, and then they detach. But there's something else that Mylan, I've heard him say, and that's that eventually vacillators will re-engage without resolution, and the pattern repeats. And I'm stuck on that. And I think if I understand what you're saying is that because I so want a connection, I will not make sure that the problem that I'm suffering is resolved, and I will go do anything I can to reattach to that person because of needing that emotional connection. Am I understanding that correctly, Mylan?
Is that what you feel is happening to you, Kathy?
Yes, because my husband left me 3 years ago, and a lot of our problems stem from his family. He did not leave and cleave. His family did not treat me well, but he continually expected me to be part of the family and go with them to family functions. And I wasn't strong enough to say no. I felt that it was all me, that it was my fault for his family not getting along with me.
I'm sorry. It's always a combination. I mean, I bring something. My spouse brings something. We each bring something. It sets up a core pattern. And you may have a very good point. He may not have left and cleft. And when that happens, you know, you have your foot in two worlds. And if you have a desire to connect, then that's gonna hurt you, because one of the things, well, it'll hurt your feelings because you will want his highest allegiance to be with you.
Well, and that did happen. In fact, I am a feeler on top of everything else. I'm not a thinker. And so I think that what was happening is that, and I was married to a thinker. He's also an avoider. So what was happening is I would get angry. Nothing really would be resolved. A couple of days would go by, and then, you know, he could remain silent. I couldn't.
Right.
And
so that is your tension right there. Is he silent? Who's going to break the silence? I need reconnection. So out of desperation, possibly compromising your integrity or pressing past a place you don't want to, the need to connect is a higher drive than what was originally hurting and irritating you. The problem is the core pattern is never really addressed, and both people play a part in that core pattern. And if the core pattern is addressed properly, both people improve in their quality of who they are as human beings, and their attachment wounds become less powerful, and then the core pattern becomes less powerful. But I don't know if I answered your question. Was that the question?
I want to stop the cycle, and I think that I don't know how.
Okay.
And so when you had said that the eventually the vacillator would reconnect without the resolution.
Well, they can't. I'm just saying they can't. And so
why this struck me.
Okay, so
that's how I'm living my life.
Let me give you one growth goal right there. If there has been a hurt and you are a feeler, then you feel things deeply. And if you're a vacillator or the ambivalently attached, you have in your history some abandonment themes. So that is, disconnection will cause you to have distress. So instead of just jumping back into the relationship, where you just jump back in as though things are normal. Say, you know, I want to come back close to you, but I need to readdress the original hurt, and let's repair that rupture at a time where we're not triggered and angry. Let's talk about it and see if we can reach some new equilibrium or some new resolution or some understanding. The goal is to enter back into relationship with a repair of the ruptures that occur in relationship, where they're satisfied cognitively and emotionally, which then I'm not going back in ignoring something and just letting it go under the carpet year after year. I'm going back in with the integrity of saying, I want to make this issue right. Would you add to that, Jill?
Right, because I'm thinking what you're saying is that as you feel, Kathy, abandoned, that pressure then comes to the forefront. And so you want to relieve that. And that's why then the moving back toward him without resolution. Because now you've relieved the tension of being, you know, too distant from him.
That's exactly what's happening. And I don't know how to overcome the pain of, because Mylan's right. My father was an alcoholic. I'm from a large family. I have a twin. So I didn't get emotional connection very often.
Mm-hmm.
And
so when you feel the distance from your husband, it's devastating.
Well, we're in the process of divorce. There's nothing that left that we can do. Well, that he was willing to do. I've tried everything, and he's done. Mm. And so I'm looking, it's been devastating because I listened to your program and I know so much now. I've read, I've been to therapy, I've been to workshops, and it's hard to hear all the things that I know now that I could do differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I unfortunately am taking 100% of the blame, and I have to learn not to do that because it's only 50%. But
hang in there. I wish we had more time. We don't, but sounds like you're on a good healing path and developing some insight.
Good question.
You sure are, Kathy.
Yeah, a lot of vacillators never even attempt that. And so God bless you. Thank you for that. And let me send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. One of the things that I say in there is that if two people could be willing, nothing is impossible in that relationship. Tonight I'm going to be in Bartow, Florida. Solomon and I are going to be there so I can take him to an alligator farm tomorrow. And we're going to be at a Lose It for Life charity banquet put on by Leland Family Ministries. And if you're in the area, please come by and visit. You can find out about it at newlife.com.
Why do you devote yourself to those kinds of endeavors, Steve?
What kind of endeavors?
Well, you were
the
you're
alligators
speaking there.
Or, no.
No. Why do you have a heart for that kind of a ministry?
I want to see people get better. And I have a little weight problem that I've struggled with all my life, and I want to see people have freedom from it. Is that what you mean?
Well, you give yourself a lot to people, and I just want people to know that, how much you are a giving person.
Well, thank you. That's awfully nice, but really it was a great excuse to take Solomon to the alligator farm. Now, please, if you can possibly help us, would you do it? Because we've got so many things we want to do and be there for people who are struggling. One of the things that we're looking forward to is on June the 7th, we're going to be there in Dallas for our 25th anniversary celebration. We would love for you to join us for that. And also, I've talked about it, our Marriage and Healing is a Choice weekend later in the summer. July the 1st, we go to Alaska with Lucy Swindoll, Marilyn Meberg. I'll be there. How big is your God is the big question. We think God's pretty big, and he shows up in Alaska in some really great big ways. Come join us for any of those things, and also become part of the New Life Giving family. If you join Club New Life, send you a Life Recovery Bible or a Teen Life Recovery Bible if you would prefer, and you get a CD that I do just for you every month with great teaching you won't hear on this program. Not that the program on this, not that the teaching here isn't great, but it's additional teaching, some of us speaking out in different places, and calls that you might have missed, and an update on what New Life is up to. All of that, every month I send that to you. You get discounts on the things that we do here. We need more members in Club New Life. If you cannot join Club New Life at $25 a month, a one-time gift, we'll send you a gift of any amount. We'll send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution, the new book, the new project, and I hope it's going to be a blessing to you. My thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard. She is the author of The Secrets Women Keep, The Secrets Young Women Keep, and Mylan Yurkovich, who has written How We Love, which is just an amazing, amazing must-read book. Thank you both. Thanks to all of you. See you next time here on New Life.
Thanks
bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.